paper taper like this, okay? I mean that.
I hope we never see that day.
Right here, it's hot. It's hot.
In the land of the free. Or someday will we.
92.
Will we.
96.
And if you don't know by now, the truth of what I'm telling you, then surely I have failed somehow. Surely I have failed somehow. Yeah. Oh, surely I have failed somehow. And Jesus will think, I'm a jerk, just like you. If you let those TV preachers make a monkey out of you, ow, ow, ow. I said Jesus will think you're a jerk, and it would be true. The stainless maiden.
It's just burning on the lawn.
But this person looks like Tom Brady. Skip it, Tammy. Oh, baby. You gotta go. You really got to go. Oh, oh, oh.
Gentlemen, this is intermission. Get your butt out there and register to vote, would you please? See you in a half an hour.
Or Trump driving man. He's a drugstore truck driving man, and he's the head of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer comes rolling around, we'll be lucky to get out of town. He's been like a father to me. He's like the only DJ you can hear after three. And I'm an all-night singer in a country band. If he don't like me, he don't understand. He's a drugstore truck driving man. He's the head of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer comes rolling around, we'll be lucky to get out of town. He's got him a house on the hill, and he can play country records till you've had your fill. He's a lawman's friend, he's an all-night DJ. Sure don't think much like the records he plays. He's a drugstore truck driving man. He's the head of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer comes rolling around, we'll be lucky to get out of town. He don't like resistance, I know. He said it last night on a big TV show. He's got him a medal that he won in the war. Weighs 500 pounds and it sleeps by the door. He's a drugstore truck driving man. He's the head of the Ku Klux Klan. When summer comes rolling around, we'll be lucky to get out of town. We'll be lucky to get out of town.
I'd like to sing you a song that is one of my husband David's favorite songs.
This is no time for shaking hands. This is no time for backslapping. This is no time for marching bands. This is no time for optimism. This is no time for endless thought. This is no time for my country right wrong. Remember what that brought. There is no time. There is no time. There is no time. This is no time for congratulations. This is no time to turn your back. This is no time for circumlocution. This is no time for learning speech. This is no time to count your blessings. This is no time for private gain. This is a time to put up or shut up. It won't come back this way again. There is no time. There is no time. There is no time. There is no time. This is no time to swallow anger. This is no time to ignore hate. This is no time to be acting frivolous, because the time is getting late. This is no time for private vendettas. This is no time to not know who you are. Self-knowledge is a dangerous thing, the freedom of who you are. This is no time to ignore warnings. This is no time to clear the plate. Let's not be sorry after the fact, and let the past become our fate. There is no time. There is no time. There is no time. There is no time. This is no time to turn a wind drink or smoke some vials of crack. This is a time to gather force and take dead beat and attack. This is no time for celebration. This is no time for saluting flags. This is no time for inner searchings. The future is at hand. This is no time for phony rhetoric. This is no time for political speech. This is a time for action, because the future's within reach. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time, because there is no time. There is no time. There is no time. There is no time. There is no time.
We're told that after the war the Nazis vanished without a trace, but the Italians are fascists, still dream of a master race. The history books they tell of their defeat in 45, but they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. They say the prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. Possess remained in prison, then the fascists they were beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork
on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say.
Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Dirty, rotten imbeciles. You just heard DRI doing Reaganomics. Before that, Chumbawamba did The Day the Nazi Died. Before that, Luke did There Is No Time, from one of the better anti-Reagan releases outside of the world of punk in the 80s. This is from his New York CD. Joan Baez with Jeffrey Shirtla did a live version of Drugstore Truck Driving Man, and the Warner Brothers did Rush and Fuck Up the CD version of Woodstock. You would have heard the spoken introduction in which it was introduced as a dedication to then Governor Ronald Caligula Reagan in 1969, and started off with Frank Zappa doing Jesus Thinks You're a Jerk. This is Reverend Booker, and the show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live every Sunday night at RadioVolta.org from 9 to 11 p.m. East Coast Time, USA, and relay broadcast live at AtheistNetwork.com, where you can hear the show repeat broadcasted Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., also East Coast Time, USA, as well as repeat broadcasted oh so appropriately on Sunday morning when the show is back-to-back with the great Hour of Slack, as well as relay broadcasted live on two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Olympia and one in Seattle. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic fundamentalists or any other Taliban model theocratic church. If you want to write to me, write Rev. Bookburn, care of Quail, as in Dan Nunnan's Quail, the biggest fucking idiot after Reagan and before W. Warren Bush. Quail, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, quail at sjcdc.org, and at that website, sjcdc.org, South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition. You can check out an article entitled Theocracy and Sexual Freedom. Next week on The Reverend Is In, the final installment of the Reagan Anti-Memorial, because we will refuse to let history be rewritten or to let his crimes against humanity go unrecorded. And it looks like it's up to independent media to make that happen. So next week, the Reagan Anti-Memorial Part 3, The Mass. And the Reverend will do the special Reagan War Criminal Mass. And we'll make that unforgettable, and we'll play the last of these tunes every kind of tune from every genre of music that recorded songs about Ronald War Criminal Reagan. And when we're finished that, we're going to go back to the themes that got preempted before we were technically down for a little while and before the timely death at 93 of Ronald Caligula Reagan. And those include Recovery for Propagandists, in which we'll have a good time with the propaganda pushers who talk about false myths such as love addiction and sex addiction and porn addiction and gambling addiction and internet addiction and television, golf carts, and other kinds of bullshit propaganda. And we will discuss why that is bullshit propaganda and what the realities of addictions and non-addictions are. And we'll have some great humor with all of that. As well as future theme, pubic property, we will discuss sex negatives from all walks of life, liberal and conservative, the left and the right, from Jerry Falwell's Liberty University and other holy theocrats to some fairly common women's studies types of collegiate programs. Another future theme, three retroactive abortions for Barbara Bush. And somewhere around the Republican convention, we will begin a series on George W. Numbnuts Bush, the Lick Bush in 2004 series, and we'll make that memorable, as well as entertaining the troops and live coverage of the protests and actions outside of the Republican convention with special correspondent The Pie Man from pieman.org, which will be really cool. And Darren from, formerly from, the punk band Hopeless Dregs of Humanity will be a live guest in September on September 12th. And his new site is now up. It's Darren Deicide, and no relation to a bigger band called Deicide. DarrenDeicide.com. Future live guest, Barbara Nitke, erotic and what is it? I can't read this. But she films a lot, photographs a lot, not just from the erotic world, but also from the kink community. Barbara Nitke, NITKE.com, from beautiful New York, who is going to come down during either her book signing or something else and be a live guest on the show, which will be cool. And some other live guests, some musical treats, musical guests, and now that we have a bigger space, want to get them in. And tonight we're going to talk about some present day stuff as well, and talk about the Martha Stewart sentencing and a group called Runners Against Bush. And I want to give a review of Fahrenheit 9/11 before the night ends, because I saw it last night and it was fantastic. As always, I heard mixed things about it. Even people who I expected to like it saying they were a little disappointed, or they wish he did more of that or less of this or something or other. But like all things Michael Moore, it was fantastic, and it was very accessible, and I think it's not only important to see it, but it's important to get as many people as possible to see it. And that means a variety of people, as many kinds of people as possible. From work, from family, and believe me, your family is not any hairier than the Reverend's. People you debate and disagree with, people you argue with, every type of person, all walks of life, everybody worldwide, but especially in North America. It is extremely highly recommended to see Fahrenheit 9/11 still in theaters. Okay, a book burner has been emailing the Reverend about an author I was unfamiliar with, and actually I do know one of his works. His name is Carl, C-A-R-L, Hiasen, H-I-A-A-S-E-N, and he was the author of the book Striptease, which was made into a movie that got killed by critics. I thought it was fantastic. And the book was reportedly 1,000 times better than the film, which is very possible. But then it turns out he writes a lot of fictional books, mostly from his native state, Florida, and has a great goof on assholes in public office, like the Bush crime family members, Jeb, the Florida governor, his retarded brother who's illegally occupying the White House, and people like that, as well as having a go on, like, the Reverend Robertson types and similar Taliban clones and charmers along those lines. And he takes on all kinds of bullshit like that, as well as excellent writing. And so the Reverend is going to pick up some of his books and give you reviews of it, because it was from a book burner who largely delivers when turning the Reverend on to cool stuff. So that'll be passed on to you. I can't wait to get into some of these tunes. So we're going to hear from Gil Scott-Heron in a minute. And we'll play, of course, a tribute to the Reagan-initiated war on drugs. And Somewhere Online is also an old 80s parody that was circulating in the underground music scenes for a number of years. It's only like 5 or 10 minutes long, but the underground scenes, period. And it was circulating and copied all over the place. It was called The Reagans Speak Out on Drugs. And of course, it had them saying the opposite. It had Nancy saying, my husband and I just love this new drug called crack. And it goes on like that. It's one of the funniest things I ever saw. If you can't find a copy of it, and if the great Canadian book burner Ed Gold can't find it, the Reverend will track down that website that started archiving stuff like that. You can get your own Reagan goof tape, as well as Bumbletown, the life and times of Ronald Reagan. I have tonight remembered to bring a copy of Reagan's Reign of Error, a book of quote books. So if you're a bit younger and don't remember Reagan, this can be proof and entertainment for you that there was a big fucking idiot before George W. Bush in the White House. Let's see. Tonight there's a lot of parties for the film that MoveOn.org has been putting out and organizing showings and house parties for. It exposes the bullshit propaganda and bias of Fox Network, arguably bigger Bush ass flickers than CBS. And there's a documentary about that called Outfoxed, and it's from MoveOn.org. And when the Reverend makes a comment like that, of course he means no disrespect whatsoever to people who are actually into ass licking. Just to say that Fox headquarters is deep into the rectum of a third generation member of the Bush crime family and current squatter and unelected figurehead currently sitting and choking on a pretzel in the White House. Outfoxed from MoveOn.org, featuring Al Franken. Okay. And in music news, the new release by Judacus, a rap artist who released a new CD entitled Kiss of Death, includes the song entitled Why, which is getting a lot of heat from all kinds of Bush worshippers, because it contains the line, "Why did Bush knock down the towers?" A reference to September 11th. And so, predictably, Judicus and the label Interscope Records are getting all kinds of heat for that. So I just found this out today, so I didn't have time to pick it up. But it's from the Kiss of Death CD. The track is Why. And we don't like it because of the anti-Bush spirit that are in that song. So that's probably worth picking up. Alright, get talked out already. And I'm functioning on too little sleep. And there's no caffeine in here, so I'm going to give a couple quick plugs and then play Gil Scott-Heron. We'll do the prayer for stem cell research later. And in the future, on The Reverend Is In, as a permanent item, it's not even going to be a theme show, it's just going to be a permanent feature. Because it really looks like things are in the direction of bringing back the draft. They're having a hard time recruiting workers to go to Iraq, and actually I think that's good news. But they're offering as much as $300,000 and up for people to go there and work on building up Cheney's company's war profiteering bottom line from Halliburton Corporation and Bush's oil interests and his associates' oil interests. So they're running out of people to work there, and they're running out of people to enlist in the Army. So it's looking like they're going to want to bring back the draft. On this show, there will be permanent resources and information, and hopefully you folks can figure out how to reach each other. I'll get back to you on that from Mr. Scott, who tonight is actually running an out-Fox party showing the anti-Fox documentary, but figure out a way so book burners can hook up with each other so you can also provide information. But on the show, we will be the cutting edge and be a permanent resource for people to get out of the draft, and updated information on the Underground Railroad that goes up to Canada. And this has already been utilized by some people who I believe were already enlisted and did not want to die for oil profits and lies. So we will be a permanent draft dodging resource, and starting to collect some information on that. So in addition to the news and survival information that started from day one, drug testing, the draft, etc., we will stay updated with how to stay out of the draft. If you want to support, or better yet, to go to Ohio to fend off the onslaught of anti-choice assholes called Operation Save America, anti-abortion harassers, homophobes, Christian supremacists, theocratic dictators who are invading Columbus, Ohio, you can go to the website of the people organizing to just say no to them, and that is theanswerisno.org. Alright, definitely talked out. You've been hearing Dirty Rotten Imbeciles in the background from their Dealing With It CD, and now let's go back to the days of Ronald Caligula Reagan. This is by Gil Scott-Heron, and this is, he did two versions of it, 1980 and 1984, both versions just before the election.
I come home.
I'm wrong again. This version just after the first election of Ronald Caligula Reagan. This is called B-Movie. Lord, make this turntable work.
Well, the first thing I want to say is mandate my ass. Because it seems as though we've been convinced that 26% of the registered voters, not even 26% of the American people, but 26% of the registered voters form a mandate or a landslide. 21% voted for Skippy and 3-4% voted for somebody else who might have been running. But oh yeah, I remember. In this year that we have now declared the year from Shogun to Reagan, I remember what I said about Reagan. Minute. Acted like an actor. Hollywood. Acted like a liberal. Acted like General Franco when he acted like governor of California. Then he acted like a Republican. Then he acted like somebody was going to vote for him for president. And now we act like 26% of the registered voters is actually a mandate. We're all actors in this, I suppose. What has happened is that in the last 20 years, America has changed from a producer to a consumer. And all consumers know that when the producer names a tune, the consumer has got to dance. The way it is. We used to be a producer, very inflexible at that, and now we are consumers and finding it difficult to understand. Natural resources and minerals will change your world. The Arabs used to be in the third world. They have bought the second world and put a firm down payment on the first one. Controlling your resources will control your world. This country has been surprised by the way the world looks now. They don't know if they want to be Matt Dillon or Bob Dylan. They don't know if they want to be diplomats or continue the same policy of nuclear nightmare diplomacy. John Foster Dulles ain't nothing but the name of an airport now. The idea concerns the fact that this country wants nostalgia. They want to go back as far as they can, even if it's only as far as last week. Not to face now or tomorrow, but to face backwards. And yesterday was the day of our cinema heroes riding to the rescue at the last possible moment. The day of the man in the white hat or the man on the white horse. Or the man who always came to save America at the last moment. Someone always came to save America at the last moment. Especially in B-movies. And when America found itself having a hard time facing the future, they looked for people like John Wayne. But since John Wayne was no longer available, they settled for Ronald Reagan. And it has placed us in a situation that we can only look at like a B-movie. Come with us back to those inglorious days when heroes weren't zeros. Before fair was square, when the cavalry came straight away and all American men were like Hemingway to the days of the wondrous B-movie. The producer, underwritten by all the millionaires necessary, will be Casper the Defensive Weinberger. No more animated a choice is available. The director will be Attila the Hague, running around frantically declaring himself in control and in charge. The ultimate realization of the inmates taking over at the asylum. The screenplay will be adapted from the book called Voodoo Economics by George Papadoc Bush. Music by the village people, the very military, macho man.
Macho, macho man, to be boy. He'd like to be, well, you get the point.
A theme song for saber rattling and selling wars door to door. Remember, we're looking for the closest thing we can find to John Wayne. Clichés abound like kangaroos, courtesy of some spaced out Marlon Perkins, a Reagan contemporary. Clichés like itchy trigger finger and tall in the saddle and riding off or on into the sunset. Clichés like get off of my planet by sundown. More so than clichés like he died with his boots on. Marine tough to manage, Bogart tough to manage, Cagney tough to manage, Hollywood tough to manage, cheap steak tough, and Bonzo substantial. The ultimate in synthetic selling, a Madison Avenue masterpiece, a miracle, a cotton candy politician. Presto, macho. Macho, macho. Put your orders in, America, and quick as Kodak, your leader's duplicate with the accent being on the dupes. Because all of a sudden we have fallen prey to selective amnesia, remembering what we want to remember and forgetting what we choose to forget. All of a sudden the man who called for a bloodbath on our college campuses is supposed to be Dudley goddamn Do-Right. You go give them liberals hell, Ronnie. That was the mandate to the new Captain Bly on the new ship of fools. It was doubtlessly based on his chameleon performance in the past as a liberal Democrat, as the head of the Studio Actors Guild. When other celluloid saviors were cringing in terror from McCarthy, Ron stood tall. It goes all the way back from Hollywood to Hillbilly, from liberals to libelists, from Bongo to Birchite or Born Again. Civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, it's all wrong. Call in the cavalry to disrupt this perception of freedom gone wild. God damn it, first one wants freedom, then the whole damn world wants freedom. No sound, that's what we want. The good old days, when we gave them hell. When the buck stopped somewhere and you could still buy something with it. To a time when movies was in black and white and so was everything else. Even if we go back to the campaign trail, before a six-gun Ron shot off his face and developed hoof and mouth. Before the free press went down before full court press and were reluctant to view the menu because they knew the only thing available was Crow. Lon Chaney, our man of a thousand faces. No match for Ron. Doug Henning does the makeup. Special effects from Grecian Formula 16 and Crazy Glue. Transportation furnished by the David Rockefeller Remote Control Company. Their slogan is, why wait for 1984? You can panic now and avoid the rush. So much for the good news. Wall Street goes, so goes the nation, and here's a look at the closing numbers. Racism's up, human rights are down, peace is shaky, war items are hot, the house claims all ties, jobs are down, money is scarce, and common sense is at an all-time low in heavy trading. Movies were looking better than ever, and now no one is looking because we're starring in a big movie, and we would rather had John Wayne, we would rather had. You ain't never really got to worry. And you don't need to check on how you feel. Just keep repeating that none of this is real. And if you're sensing that something's wrong, well, just remember that it won't be too long before the director. That's the same, yeah.
my lazy boy, just watching my TV. There's something that the newsman can't explain to me. Maybe I'm just paranoid as I set my reefer down. If there's a war on drugs going on, how come they're all around? But we're winning the war on drugs, we're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord and pass the ball, we're winning the war on drugs. You can grow them in your backyard or score them off the thugs. Put your hands against the car, we're winning the war on drugs. Tony scored 10 kilos from a pair of shiny black shoes, with an eagle in his haircut and an earphone on his tongue. After he got busted, he couldn't make no bail, 'cause we're making money off the stash and money off the jail. But we're winning the war on drugs, we're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord and pass them on. About Bill Hicks and the laughter he creates, about burning all your records 'cause the artists were all fake. On this earth there's flowers, fungus, herbs, and weeds to take. If those things are legal, then God made a mistake. But we're winning the war on drugs, we're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord. We're winning the war on drugs. You can grow them in your closet or store them off the thugs. Put your hands against the wall. We're winning the war on drugs. Yeah, we're winning the war on drugs. We're winning the war on drugs. Praise the Lord and pass the ball. We're winning the war on drugs. You can store them in your backyard or store them off the thugs. Put your hands against the wall. We're winning the war on drugs. Put your hands against the wall.
Okay. I don't know why she's so popular, but she's back again. Here is the one and only Nurse Ratched.
Come on in.
Hello, this is Nurse Ratched. And when I'm not fucking the poor, the homeless, the drug addicted, the mentally ill, the people on Medicaid, the people who are homeless, the people with HIV or hepatitis, I listen to the Reverend is in, and I am going to get Sister Anne and her little dog too for leaving our warm and fuzzy environment and leaving more actual work for me to do. In fact, even though I'm a Christian supremacist, I'm going to get my cosmic aura cleanser to clean my office of St. Anne's evil spirits and cast spells on those on my witch hunt list. And now I want to play a song from the Put Some Pussy in Your Punk compilation by one of my favorite bands. This is a track by Bimbo Toolshed.
Everybody wants a piece of my ass. Why? Pretty woman.
Oh, darling, you look adorable. I can't believe it's your first day of school. You're growing up so fast. Now be a good boy and do whatever the nice priests tell you to do.
So, William, I hope you enjoyed your first day of school. You know, Our Lady of Blind Conformity is one of the finest boys' educational facilities in the country. You are quite fortunate to be attending. Here you'll learn that a complete education incorporates both academics as well as religious studies. Prayer is a major part of our daily routine. Oh, there's nothing I enjoy more than seeing an entire room of boys on their knees in prayer. In fact, if you'll follow me into my office, I'll show you an exciting way to praise God.
Who tells us that God is cool? Who prefers to teach at an all-boys school? Man with a sticky Bible, Father Peter, the pedophile priest. Who reads to us from the book of Job? Who's the man with the lamp in his robe? Who hugs his son but not your daughter? Who dunks his dick in the holy water? Father Peter, the pedophile priest. Who's the biggest prick in the congregation? Father Peter, the pedophile priest. Who knows the words to all the psalms? Who's the priest with the sweaty palms? Who chose the most pious profession? Who gropes the boys while in confession? Father Peter, the pedophile priest.
Cast with secret sway that wants a permanent war with only a season of rest. You could see it in the shape of the U.S. advisor's squinting eye, like the tail of a wasp buzzing in the copter's hatchway over the jungle.
Fire. Oh.
my country so often stand on the side of the mean and the cruel. Woe, the CIA surrounds Nicaragua. Ah, and Reagan says yes to the death squads of El Salvador. There's a mean streak in America. May take 500 years to solve. And this is from...
You heard Corrosion of Conformity doing Intervention. The Thugs did a live version of Nicaragua in 1980s during Reagan's Contra War. Jello Biafra did Father Peter, the pedophile priest, from the Spit CD series. This particular edition of Spit entitled America's Sweetheart. The Loudmouths did Girl from the Racetracks. Bimbo Toolshed did Roxanne. Asylum Street Spankers did Winning the War on Drugs. And started off with Gil Scott Heron doing B-Movie. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is The Reagan Anti-Memorial Part 2. And I don't even know where to begin with this, Reagan stupid quotes book, but there were many. I guess I'll do two now, then get back up to the present if time permits towards the end. Read a couple more before closing out the show. This is from no date on this one, but that was from his autobiography, Where's the Rest of Me, 1965 autobiography. quote, "By the time I got out of the Army Air Corps, all I wanted to do was rest up a while, make love to my wife, and come up refreshed to a better job in an ideal world. As it came out, I was disappointed in these post-war ambitions." 1965 from his autobiography, Where's the Rest of Me? This is from 1985. "I know all the bad things that happened in that war. I was in uniform 4 years myself." End of quote. And from the editors, "In costume is more like it. Reagan spent World War II making army training films in the Hal Roach Studios in Hollywood." This is also from 1985. "As governor of the state of California, I had first-hand experience with the line item veto and found it necessary to keep spending in check, and used the line item veto on over 900 occasions to remove unnecessary spending from the budget." If you need that one explained, then it's pointless. "We look at the unemployed and we incline to believe that this is the same group of people that have been sitting there helpless and hopeless throughout the entire recession. 70% of the unemployed today have been unemployed 7 weeks or less." Okay, more of these precious gems, if time permits, towards the end. If you want to see the Bush abortion story, you'll need a copy of, and this is very worthwhile, the Memoirs of Larry Flint, Sex, Lies, and Politics, The Naked Truth by Larry Flint. And if you want to read some juicy scandals of the sex negatives, the Puritans, the abstinence promoters, the hostile to contraception and abortion rights, the hostile to anything erotic in nature, the hostile to freedom, the purveyors of anti-freedom legislation, the king and queen pins of moral crusading and family values in their own juicy scandals, check out the book with the juiciest scandals, Blinded by the Right, by David Brock, and it makes for great nighttime reading. Fahrenheit 9/11 is, it's not even sufficient to say that it's 5 stars. It is 10 to 20 stars. It is worthwhile. The reviews locally, including even the Independent Weekly Press, is, in the view of this reverend, worth ignoring. It is a masterpiece. It thoroughly covers the stolen year 2000 election, thoroughly covers all things that were undercovered about September 11th, things we were trying to say on the show from day one, things other people have been trying to say and get out there from day one, a lot of things that came out only on independent media, and only two people who were turned on to independent media. This film has said it all to every sector of culture in North America, and I use the term culture very loosely. It covers not only September 11th, but also the lies before the Iraq War, and it shows the corporate criminals who were funders and close friends of the Bush family, Ken Lay from Enron, the Saudi families, and of course it shows the war profiteers, including those from Dickless Cheney's corporation, Halliburton, the people who are profiting off the blood and death of both sides in the Iraq War. It is well put together. It is a film that most definitely has its humorous moments in the delivery of such heavy content, and one is on the edge of his or her seat throughout this film. Highly recommended. It's worth it to get people out from all walks of life, but especially that bozo from down the hall that says, "Oh, I don't know. He seems so nice and intelligent and a good leader. And at least he didn't get blowjobs from interns." Take that person to see it. In fact, to be honest, the Reverend took a Christian-identified Republican, no bullshit, to see it. And even though we debated some and in a friendly way, it was worthwhile. It definitely rocked the world of those whose only input, whose only sources of information ever are the corporate media. And this is from the almost corporate media, it seems at times. Philadelphia's own free weekly paper, one of them, Philadelphia City Paper. The latest addition to the local anti-Bush campaign is a running club that wants to unseat the president. The Philadelphia chapter of Run Against Bush, which formed in February, gathers at Rittenhouse Square on Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings. Members then jog to Penn's Landing sporting blue shirts that read Run Against Bush and hand out flyers to passersby with the hopes of influencing potential voters. So they have t-shirts, flyers, all kinds of stuff. They are at Rittenhouse Square Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings. Run Against Bush here in beautiful Philadelphia, the city that bravely takes people who have failed special education and gives them jobs in the Philadelphia Parking Authority. Okay, enough about Runners Against Bush. Let's see. If you want to see something hilarious in the Philadelphia area, and I believe it's everywhere, not just in Philadelphia, a theater group entitled Puppetry of the Penis, which is on the web at puppetryofthepenis.com. And in Philadelphia, you could check out showtimes at the place where it is being performed, at the Wilma Theater on Broad Street, at wilmatheater.org. Let's play some more Corrosion of Conformity in background. This is has to be their greatest CD ever, Animosity. Okay. Let's do our prayer for stem cell research while we hear Corrosion of Conformity. And then get at least one more set of music in. Lord, we know that a nasty disease took the life of a war criminal, a murderer who had the blood of literally millions on his hands, a corporate criminal, and a general numbnuts named Ronald Reagan. But it has also taken away a lot of people who did deserve a cure, a prolonged life, a life without suffering, and a life that was complete, and who deserved honor and memorials after they did pass on. Lord, you have created a sick disease called Alzheimer's and many other diseases. And while the cures are still not discovered, Lord, we know that great advances on at least a dozen diseases possibly 24 diseases can come from stem cell research. And even though the progress of stem cell research was tied up by Reagan himself and some of the idiots he appointed in the public office and in the judiciary, it was almost grinded to a halt in 2001 by a complete fucking moron named George W. Bush. A decision that has lasted to this day, despite the appeals of many famous people, of many people and loved ones who have been afflicted with serious diseases, and even the survivors of the Reagan family themselves, for the advancement and the removal of restrictions of stem cell research. But Lord, the total fucking idiot who occupies the White House has not moved one iota towards lifting these restrictions. And we're asking you, Lord, to cause the easing of these restrictions and to open the gates so that stem cell research can go full speed ahead and we can make progress on curing the diseases that have afflicted this nation and this world. Amen. From Reverend Bookburn on July 18th, 2004 on the Scooby-Doo Christian Broadcasting Network. You gotta see this cartoon by Ward Sutton about Dickless Cheney as a representative of not only of Halliburton Corporation, but also of a circus freak show. Ward Sutton is probably one of the best cartoonists in the country, and this cartoon for Dickless Cheney is entitled America's Biggest Dick, which is at his series that is regularly published at the Village Voice out of New York, which is at villagevoice.com/Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. And you can see some back cartoons as well. And that is definitely worthwhile. Some more great stuff at landoverbaptist.org. You can get some new Christian supremacist bumper stickers, including My Catholic Priest Molested Your Honor Roll Student, as well as the usual treats like the Betty Bowers page, the What Would Jesus Do thong, and new at whitehouse.org, President Remarks to the American Clear-Cutting Federation, announcing the long overdue disembowelment of Clinton-era wilderness protections. That is at wilderness. That is at whitehouse.org, as well as some materials on the draft, same-sex marriages, and their classic Reagan Memorial. That link alone is worth going to whitehouse.org. Let's see, some other gifts that people turned the Reverend onto today. A brand new issue from pro-choice group in Canada, Pro-Choice Action Network -Canada.org, and check out their new issue. They're always informative. They talk about the anti-abortion terrorists, the latest in clinic harassment worldwide, debunking the myths of the anti-choice fake clinics, commonly called pregnancy care centers, the bullshit that anti-choice people try to push in reversal of science and clinical data, one of which is the bullshit assertion that most women suffer post-traumatic experience when they get an abortion, which is total horseshit. And you can read about that in detail at prochoiceactionnetwork-canada.org in their new issue. Alright, what else? Definitely sick of talking. In addition to Fahrenheit 9/11, some new worthwhile films include The Corporation, which is usually just at the Arty theaters, Control Room, The Morning After, and these can be checked out online, Heart of the Beholder, and that should be out very soon. Check it out at beholder.com. And something you can watch tonight from jibjab.com, This Land. And that is worthwhile. And thank you, Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com, for turning the Reverend on to more great stuff for the show. Martha Stewart was sentenced to 5 months in jail because of low-level corporate criminal convictions. And I was never a fan of hers, but I found myself feeling sorry for her because on the corporate crime meter, going from 0 to 100, she's about a 2, maybe a 1. And they went after her with a vengeance, I believe not so much to go after her, but because she was a way to focus their energy. They don't do anything about real corporate crime, about the Bush backers like Enron and WorldCom and Tyco and the Regus crime family, owners of Adelphia Cable Systems. And so picking on Martha Stewart, also a woman, makes them not only feel like they're big and bad, and pouncing on a media villain of the month, but also it makes them look like they really do care about corporate crime. And in the meantime, Ken Lay, CEO of Enron, appears all smug and arrogant as ever on the Larry King cable TV show. And he probably has good reason to, because he has largely gotten away with it. Well, if you've done social work, you probably know that anybody who even got $5 too much money in Social Security, like while they were in a hospital or something like that, or somebody who in any way benefited from illegal activity or low-level crime, has to pay it back. And it's not enough that Ken Lay was charged, but somehow the money has to be paid back, even if it has to be taken away from Ken Lay, who destroyed the lives, the future, the retirement, the finances of literally hundreds of employees, and walked away with hundreds of millions of dollars. So, since justice does not seem to be close to happening, why not initiate not only legal action, but declare Ken Lay to be the subject of class action, meaning being dogged by former employees everywhere he goes, including his yacht club. Kind of like Michael Moore in his first film, where he dogs Roger Smith, the asshole who ran General Motors in Flint, Michigan. So I say, anybody who knows anybody who used to work for Enron, tell them it's time to start dogging Ken Lay. And anybody who is interested in justice in the area of corporate crime, let it begin, the dogging of Ken Lay. updated information on Fahrenheit 9/11 and reviews and worldwide responses at michaelmoore.com. And the graphic of him with George W. Numbnuts Bush alone is worth checking it out. Michael Moore, MOORE.com. Let's check out the Reverend's friend, Dr. Susan Block, drsusanblock.com. And you can see her video and audio streaming show at Radio Susie Link. Dr. Susie receives Reverend Bookburn's Emma Goldman Freedom Award at her site. Future live guests on her show, it shows upcoming. And best of all, her editorials at the Terror Journal's site. All this at drsusanblock.com. Jello Biafra's spoken word and music releases, all kinds of bands and musical releases, spoken word releases, and fantastic benefit releases and compilations at alternativetentacles.com. And please remember to boycott the corporate scab version of the dead Kennedys. All right. An article about Enron. Enron email has delay, Tom DeLay, in hot water from truthout.org. And no more plug-in. I would check out Dr. Susie's writing about the French Liberation Day, which is July 14th. Bastille Day. She gives a little history of that, which is worthwhile. We're going to send our sympathies and our love and support to the Reverend's friend, Matt Goddess, who went through the loss of a loved one since the last show were notified since the last show, and we'll won't send out a song because we don't know what he likes, but we send out our support to you, and let's see. Well, the next song isn't a good dedication for that. But, well, we'll say that one of your favorite songs, Father Peter the Pedophile Priest, went out to you to get you through these times. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the Sandinista Revolution in Nicaragua, which was successful in 1979. And after overthrowing the dictatorship of Somoza. He and his father were dictators for decades, and they really did put the dick in dictator. People were impoverished. All the profits went to the elite and American corporations. Starvation, poverty, repression, death squads, the usual Central American features in corporate-influenced states. And declared to be a potential role model for other nations with liberation struggles in Central America, Reagan decided we're going to have to go after Nicaragua. Carter decided not to fight the Nicaraguan Revolution, which is when this next song came out. But Reagan had plans for a Contra War, which killed tens of thousands of civilians and made him one of the most notorious mass murderers in modern times. So on the eve of the Contra Wars, and in the wake of Carter's refusal to intervene in the Sandinista Revolution, the liberation of the Nicaraguan people, we're going to play a song from the Sandinista release by The Clash, and it's a song about the Nicaraguan Revolution and the Sandinista victory. This track is entitled Washington Bullets. Lord, we want this turntable to work, unlike last week when this Flintstonian device did not want to work for us. We were amused at first, but now we want your miracle, Lord, so we can hear the Clash doing Washington Bullets.
Mama, look there, your children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns jammed downtown, killing clowns, the blood money men. Washington bullets again, as every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember the day and the day before, before the army. In the Santiago Stadium, there, there, it was Washington bullets again. And in the playoff days in 1961, a banner for the Playboy in the Cuban sun. For Castro is the color, is a redder than red. But Washington bullets won Castro dead.
What are you saying?
All you Trekkies and TV addicts, don't mean to this, don't mean to bring static. All you Klingons in the fucking house, grab your backstreet friend and get loud. Blowing doors off inches, grabbing with the pinches. And no, I didn't retire, snatch it off with the needle nose pliers.
Black kids will overhaul with the U-Boats you've never seen before.
Riding in the glaze, like Lord Pete, you know what you're paid.
Put me in check, so believe when they say you're no better than you, except when I
abracadabra. In the whip, I'm gonna cruise past ya. Yo, money, don't jump yourself. Put that shit back on the shelf. Shot face blazing, you out of phase in. My crew's amazing. We're working on the record, y'all, so just stay patient.
Check it out.
Cable guy dumped off of your crown. Now flow like smoke out of chimney. You never been me. You want a battle to begin in hip hop beat?
Speaking of Satan, I was watching Rush Limbaugh the other day. Doesn't Rush Limbaugh remind you of one of those gay guys who likes to lay in a tub while other men pee on him? See his fat body in a tub while Reagan, Quayle, and Bush just stand around pissing on him, and he can't, his little piggly wiggly dick can't get hard. I can't get hard. Reagan, pee in my mouth. Well, how's that, Rush? Still can't get hard, so they call in Barbara Bush. She takes her pearls off, puts them up his ass, then squats over him, undoes her girdle. Her wrinkled, flaccid labia unfolds halfway down to her knees like some ballless scrotum. She squeezes out a link into his mouth. Finally, his dick gets half hard. A little clear bubble forms on the end with a maggot inside. The maggot pops the bubble and runs off and joins a pro-life group somewhere. Am I the only one that sees that? Or not? Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I had the insight to notice Rush Limbaugh is a scat muncher. He munches scat. Jesus, Bill. I'm so proud of that little dark poetry there. I came up with the word scat muncher, and it went from there, and I just immediately thought of Rush.
Yeah.
Much. She doesn't have anything you want to steal. Well, nothing you can touch. She waves. She buttons your shirt. The topic is waiting outside. She hands you the scope. She gives you a blow. It's not the life. Is it she?
My name is Dr. Laura Hoare, And I'm here to tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups, like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class, makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
It's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a good one. Sunday, July 18th, 2004, at RadioVolta.org, AtheistNetwork.com, and two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Olympia and one in Seattle. Tonight, that special someone is James Nichols. James Nichols has just announced a lawsuit against filmmaker Michael Moore, producer of Fahrenheit 9/11, because of a scene that included Mr. Nichols in the previous video release, Bowling for Columbine. James Nichols, brother of Oklahoma City bombing terrorist Terry Nichols, and Tim McVeigh's best friend, member of the white supremacist and far right wing Michigan militia, and since his brother's conviction, and I'm not sure what the word is, ordained or officially blessed a member of the Elohim Aryan supremacist cult, wants you to believe that he was maligned, because he really is a decent, upstanding kind of guy, by Michael Moore, hoping to capitalize on the far right's reaction against Michael Moore and to legitimize his right-wing militia groups and white power organizations to which he is strongly associated. His behavior is transparent and obvious. And James Nichols, you are Asshole of the Week. I have absolutely heard enough of these fart sounds. Hold on. You heard Racism Sucks by 7 Seconds. Before that you heard, I don't know what you heard. Here's the paper. Before 7 seconds, you heard Automatic 7 doing Pretty in Pink. Bill Hicks did Rush Limbaugh from his Rant in E Minor comedy CD. The Beastie Boys did Check It Out from their new CD To the Five Boroughs, which I am crazy about. And The Clash did Washington Bullets from the Sandinista release. Tomorrow is Sandinista Day. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is part two of the Reagan Anti-Memorial. And we're going to go just a hair over time, a Grecian hair over time on this Reagan Anti-Memorial. And yeah, play like a couple of tracks and then close off so the Reverend can finally get some sleep. On the phone right now with St. Anne. Yes, the same one threatened and verbally abused, as you've all heard the last couple of weeks, by the one and only increasingly popular Nurse Ratched. So we'll catch up with St. Anne, too, during the next couple of songs. So, next week is part three, the Reagan Anti-Memorial, The Mass. And after that, I'm not sure what will be immediately after that, but in conjunction with the Republican Convention, we'll begin our Lick Bush and 2004 series. And I'll let you know if we get a live guest for that. And entertaining the troops, and covering the actions and protests outside the Republican Convention with special correspondent, the Pie Man from pieman.org. If you want to write to me, write Rev Bookburn, care of Quail, the biggest fucking idiot after Reagan and before W. Numbnuts Bush. Quail, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, Quail at sjcdc.org. And let's see. All right, definitely talked out. We'll do the credits, and then we'll play some final tunes. The Reverend thanks the following for assistance, information, or just plain inspiration to the following for tonight's Reagan Anti-Memorial Part 2. Kenny, Amoeba, Lord Jesus, The Secret Chimp, Father Oblivion, Ed Gold, Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com, Lady Simone, former bride on The Reverend Is In, Cindy WildflowerDesire.com, possible future bride on the show if they still in fact get married. They're a little bit screwy right now. Everlasting Godstopper, Lobo Red, all those cherished ones in the Reverend's professional life. Lady Pixan, Sister Anne Marie, Mephistopheles, Drusilla, Shelley, Malik, Leanne and Tim, Jersey Red, Annie Red, no relation, Holy Bloody Mary, Nicole, Katie, Louisa, Legal Pals, Brooke and Justin, Mr. Zvi and family, Jennifer R. from Independent Research, Independent Media Research, Bipolar Bear, Katie, Mac Goddess and family, Plantard and the UK Bookburners, the European, Australian, Brazilian, Canadian, and Lebanese Bookburners, Hippie John, Heidi Helper, Heidi Planner, the Coffee Goddesses, and thank you for waking the Reverend up this morning. Sarah, Dark Lady and her new honey, Dr. Susan Block, Melanie from Dr. Susie Show and Elegant Angel Video Productions, Renee Bryant, Paul Krasner, ProChoiceLeague.com, all Clinic Defenders, Jennifer Hunter, Deicide, Pie Man, Full Circle Records in Blackwood, New Jersey, Wooden Shoe Books and Records on 5th Street in Philadelphia between South Street and Lombard, the Lisa Bouchel Band, the Laura Shea Band, Joe Keithley and DOA, all of Radio Volta for enduring the theft of a radio transmitter and looting by Satan's sexual partner and community leader, Sister Bay. Blanket Man from Radio Volta, the two Washington outlets that relay broadcast the show, Dallas, Blanchard, Bookburners everywhere, and most of all to Michael Moore, the producer of Fahrenheit 9/11. Next week is part three, and we're going to play a song by Reagan SS. This is entitled If It's War You Want. Play, fucking thing. compilation CD from Fat Wreck Records. Fat Wreck. WRECK. It sounds like Nerd Records. FatWreck.com. This is by Anti-Flag, and this is called The School of Assassins. Play.
Back!
You heard two tracks from Rock Against Bush. The last one was Rise Against doing Give It All. Before that, Anti-Flag did The School of the Assassins. And you heard two tracks from Reagan SS, Urban Renewal and If It's War You Want. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In, and that is concluding part two of the Reagan Anti-Memorial. Going to play some final goodies and then get out of here and do something really odd like sleep. Let's play the Tattooed Corpse doing At the Hop. Good night. He was telling me some funny shit. Yeah.
Looking out the dirt yard window, down below the cars in the city go rushing by. I sit here alone and I wonder why. Shut my mouth, not one moment.
This is the Atheist Radio Network.